Thanks for the introduction. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Xuebin Zhang, a fourth year PhD student from the Department of ECSE at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. My advisor is Professor Tong Zhang. The title of my presentation is Reducing Solid-State Storage Device Red Stress Through Opportunistic In-Place Delta Compression. And today, my presentation will be divided into five parts. Firstly, I will introduce the motivation of this work, and then I will explain the key technique in this paper, the progressive programming of nine flash pages. And then I will elaborate the approach to realize the in-place delta compression. And finally, I will show the evaluation and draw the conclusion. In recent years, NAND flash is adopted increasingly from consumer electronics to enterprise applications because it has a much higher I/O speed than the conventional hard disk drives. However, there are still several bottlenecks for the widely adoption of NAND flash memory. Among them, endurance is one of the biggest concerns. For sub 20 nanometer NAND flash, the SLC flash page can be only programmed for 8,000 times, while the MLC can be programmed for around 2,000 times, and the TLC is much worse. And what makes it worse is that the byte management of software stack has brought a remarkable rate amplification and waste more and more space. And our work in this paper is about how to reduce the red stress to save up the lifetime of NAND flash. Another motivation of this work is the redundancy between consecutive updates. We know that in current SSDs, the basic read unit of NAND flash is a page which is 4 kilobytes. So to update even a few bits, we still need to allocate a new page. That is so-called the rate amplification. So in our work, we found that more than 60% of writes are smaller than one pages. And some are even less than 10 bytes. So it is obvious that there exists a temporal redundancy between the consecutive updates or consecutive versions of updates. And in addition, many blocks are updated frequently within a very short time period. For example, in the finance workload, more than 70% of blocks are updated more than 10 times within 1 hour, and some blocks are visited much more times repeatedly. Due to this fact, it's a straightforward idea to apply delta compression to reduce the redundancy between the old version and the newer version of data. And there are already some existing solutions in the literature to implement delta compression in FTL. Just like this picture shows, D0 is the original data, and when a new version is coming, the delta L1 is stored in another page. And with more and more data that are coming, all the data are dispersed in the different physical pages. And an obvious problem is that the data and the original data are located in different physical pages. So we need to read at least 2 physical pages to retrieve the latest version. And in addition, we also need to keep a mapping table to associate the locations of the original data and its deltas. So this will complicate the FTL design. And we want to do something to reduce the overhead of delta compression. To solve this problem, in our experiment, we found a similar feature with what Fabio just mentioned. The SLC mode flash cells can support a very special command called progressive programming. That is to say, different parts of flash pages can be programmed at a different time, just like this picture shows. After erasing, all the cells are erased at once. For the first time, we write data D into this flash page. The data written into the unused space is 1, so there will be still kept in erased state. What should be pointed out here is during runtime, if we write a 1 to 1 memory cell, The memory chip internal circuits will simply apply a prohibitive baseline voltage to the flash memory cell. So this cell will be prevented from being programmed. So the state of the cell will not be changed. For the second time, we can overwrite this new data C into the original page. Note the first NBase is already programmed, so we write ones into the already used region, and the state of these cells will not be changed. And thus, through this kind of operation, a new segment of data will be appended in the original physical page. This is a so-called progressive programming. And we verified this feature using a FPGA board and Micron's 20 nanometer MLC flash chips. And this is a FPGA board, FPGA-based controller, and these are the flash chips. And this figure shows the reliability performance result. The conventional method is typical, one erasing and one programming. In contrast, the progressive one is 8 program and 1 erase. So we divide the physical flash page into 8 parts, and we program 1 of them for each time. The horizontal axis is erase count. We can see that there is not a big BR difference between these two schemes. The SLC cells can be used for 8,000 P cycles in the conventional way, while in the proposed solution with the progressive programming, the SLC cells can be erased for 7,000 times. Actually, here, 7,000 times erasing means there are more than 50,000 times of programming, because there are 8 times the programming for each region. Then I will explain how to utilize this special feature to realize in-place delta compression. Our idea is straightforward and simple, which can be summarized in 10 words. Use intra-sector compression to make space for deltas. The original data will be compressed first, and the unused space will be used to store the deltas. This is and this picture shows the per sector compression efficiency of different file types. A small number in this figure indicates a better compression performance, and we can see most of our typical data can be compressed by more than 30%. Which indicates that there is a good chance to store a few deltas in the unused region, as long as the compressed delta is small enough. So our proposed solution is when a new version is coming, we need to reconstruct the latest version first, and then we compare the new coming version and the current latest version and generate the delta. If there is enough space for the new delta, we store it with our progressive programming, just like the bottom. A new segment of P is appended in the original physical page. However, if we cannot find enough space for the new coming deltas, we allocate a new page to store the latest version. So a key difference between the proposed solution and the existing solution is we can make sure the original data and the deltas can be located in the same physical page, so we can eliminate the read latency overhead fundamentally. And to be further, when more and more deltas are coming, we append them one by one until this physical page is full. And when the page is full, we just copy the latest version and allocate a brand new page to store the latest version. And this appending process will be reset and for the next following data. To place the data, place the data and the deltas in the physical page, we have two different placement strategies. This is motivated by the, we know that the current SSDs are using a much larger physical page than 4 kilobytes, such as 16 kilobytes. So the original sector data will be compressed individually. So we have two different placement strategies, which are the clustered placement and the segmented placement. So for the clustered placement, all the compressed sectors are placed together, and the unused space will be shared for all the deltas. But for the segmented placement, we store the delta information in its own sector independently. So we don't share the unused space for all the sectors. So there is a trade-off between the space saving and the read latency, which will be explained later. And the ECC management will be a big thing in this data management, because we can expect that the data can have a much shorter length, much smaller length compared to the compressed sectors. So we should use a different ECC between the short deltas and the long compressed sectors. We know that LDPC code is not a very good fit for the short code word. So we only use LDPC code for the long compressed sector, and we use BCH for the short headers and deltas. We have a few fixed code rate ECC. We choose a suitable one according to the length or element. There are three different kinds of elements in one physical page: the compressed sectors, the compressed deltas, and the headers. We add the header for each data element to separate the adjacent elements and store their length and the ECC configuration information. And here is the evaluation parts. We use file system metadata as our first case study, because we know that metadata is one of the most frequently updated data in storage system. We use the benchmark to generate the database and general file operations and triggers updates of metadata. And we use a metadata analyzer to grasp the metadata from the disk, and we can collect a whole long series many consecutive versions of updated metadata, and then we compare them to find the delta compression efficiency. We can find the delta compression efficiency is very high. In average, we only need 20 bytes to record the difference between two consecutive versions, while full metadata size is more than 200 bytes, which is about 10 times larger. And with the proposed solution to store 1,000 consecutive versions of metadata, we may only need less than 50 pages, while if we are using the conventional design without compression and delta compression, we may at most 1,000 pages. And this is a general case evaluation. Now, based on previous study, we set the compression ratio and the delta compression ratio as a Gaussian distribution, and did simulations based on the workload traces. And this is a normalized used page count with different compression ratio. And we can find in this figure, a lower bar means we need less pages to store the data. So we can find the red stress reduction is reverse proportional to the compression ratio. With a better compression ratio, we can expect a higher page reduction. And the clustered placement can have a better performance than segmented placement, because if we share the unused space within this physical page together, so we can get a better chance to append the delta, especially when the delta compression ratio is not so good. So and we can see in the two different placement strategy with the same compression ratio, the clustered placement can achieve a better reduction than the segmented one. What should be pointed out here is there will be a lower bound even with a better compression efficiency, the rate stress cannot be further reduced. This bound is determined by the percentage of repeatedly visited blocks. We can imagine that if most blocks are never repeatedly visited, the rate stress reduction will be limited. And in some cases, the rate stress will be reduced by more than up to 8% if there is a lot of in-place updates. And this is a flow diagram to retrieve the latest data version, which is a read process. To read the latest version, we need to all the compressed data and the data need to be sensed out and transferred from flash chip to controller to do the ECC decoding and decompression. And the decompressed data and the data will be combined together to generate the latest version. So the read latency will be increased because we need to decompress and decode multiple deltas. In our evaluation, we use these typical parameters to estimate the read latency overhead. For the read operations, the read latency will be increased by 40% in average due to multiple delta and data decompression. The involved silicon error cost is 0.39 square millimeter because based on our RTL design, which is less than 5% of whole controller size. This is a pretty small error, thus we will not bring too much trouble to the design of controller. What I want to point out here is the update latency is not a big problem. Update latency will be increased as well, but it's not a big problem because the latency experienced by the application will not be affected. The SSD will tell the host the read operation is already finished once the data arrives the DRAM buffer in SSD, although the data has not been programmed physically. And here's a summary part. It's a trend that the controller or the processor would like to use a hardware accelerator to offload some specific computation-intensive tasks. The involved hardware cost may be negligible compared to the whole controller, but we can benefit a lot from the perspective performance. And in addition, we can migrate the in-place data compression technique to non-volatile memory to save up the limited lifetime of the non-volatile memory and fully exploit their inherent supported better addressability. And to conclude this work, the SLC flash page can support kind of this special command called progressive programming. The lossless data compression can be utilized to make space for data. The SSD write stress could be reduced by up to 80% with proposed solution without significant overhead. I'm okay to accept questions.
Hi, Jonathan Amit from IBM. I wanted to ask about the percentage of delta writes that you saw in the traces.
Which kind of data?
How many writes are delta writes and how many writes are full 4K overwrites?
You mean the size of a compressed sector, or?
Your work is to depends that there are deltas in the overwrites.
Yeah.
Want to know what traces you used and how you decided that it's a large percentage of the writes are deltas.
Actually, the traces I'm using is I used for several different traces from WebMail and Florida International University traces and Microsoft traces, and the compression ratio is because we don't have the real data, so it's hard for us to know the real compression ratio. But based on some previous data papers are working on this problem, they find the compression ratio and the data compression ratio conform to some kind of Gaussian distribution, and the data extensive research on how much will the compression ratio will be, and to fully exploit all the possibilities, we use 9 different combinations to estimate how much will be saved.
So could it be that in real life I will get only 1% of the writes will be delta writes that I couldn't find the deltas in them?
If the compression here, if the compression ratio and the data compression ratio will be very bad, then we can know there is not enough space left for us to use. So we will not use this technique.
Okay, thanks.
Hi, Fred Douglas, EMC. My question is kind of related to that, which was, how well does this work in practice? And I was wondering, for metadata, obviously it's low-hanging fruit. You can, metadata updates are going to work really great. But for the rest of the data, you're just sort of guessing at various patterns that might apply. And I'm wondering, in practice, can you have some sort of learning where you can basically say, this thing, when it gets updated, is the delta is actually small, and so next time we'll try the delta, versus when it gets updated, it's completely different, the delta is useless, and so maybe this is not the sort of data that we should waste our time even trying to compute the delta for next time.
Actually, our design, when a new version is coming, we are always trying to compress it first and to see how much will the compressed data will be. If the data is a little large, then we skip this tactic and just store the original data.
Right, so what I'm suggesting is that you could possibly learn that certain data, certain files or directories are not good candidates and not try to do it, rather than doing the work and then always wasting it and saying, oh, we're not going to do a delta because it didn't work.
Yeah, it's a very good idea, because we can, maybe we, in our, before we do the compression, maybe we can guess how much will the compression ratio and data compression ratio will be. So, but I think this is method to be safe, because we still have some other headers before we store the compressed data. So, I think it will be safe. We should. Compress it first and measure its real size, and before we append the deltas in the original page.
We can take it offline at the poster.
Okay.
Seijin Kwan from UC Santa Cruz. The progressive program seems to be very different from the partial programming. In the conventional SSDs, the partial programming are, even though SSDs allow using the partial programming, FTL algorithm tends to avoid those kind of usage in the data area due to the occurrence of the program disturb errors. Is the progressive programming free from the program disturb errors?
There will be some programming disturbance in the progressive programming. However, what we are doing here is we only use SLC flash pages to do the progressive programming. So there is a large enough noise margin between different states of flash cell. So based on our experiments, the BR may be good enough, maybe not that big. There will not a big difference between the BR conventional ways and with our proposed ways.
In this kind of SLC then, in this SLC mode, how many progress programming can you do? How much pipe programming can you access per page?
You mean in the current SSDs?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, actually, this kind of progressive programming is not a standard programming way in the current SSD. Actually, but it can be done in at least in all the flat chips in my hand. We can do the progressive programming for the SLC mode.